Now, a lot of folks, well, mainly from the songbooks. Songbooks, there's a lot of people, they get their doctrine out of the songbook. If a songbook says something, that's the way it is. But if you look in the Bible, it's got things a little bit different. But what we want to understand is that tree that's on the river of life, it bears 12 manner of fruit, and the Bible says, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And then when you get in the book of Deuteronomy, we'll cover it probably in about 2 weeks, he says that the nations will be numbered as the children of Israel. So there was 12 children of Israel, and there'll be 12 nations throughout eternity. That's why there's 12 manner of fruit, I guess. Don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But they will be nations throughout eternity. Now, we're the body of Christ, so our situation's a little bit different. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 15. That's where we almost went a while ago. Now, here, James is talking, and James here is the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other James was killed in Acts chapter 12 by Herod. That was John's brother. He done lost his head, but this is the other James, which is the brother of the Lord who wrote the book of James. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now look close at these verses, because this is fulfillment of prophecy. Simeon, which is Simon Peter, had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now notice that. He says in verse 15 and 16, and he says, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now Simon Peter had went earlier in Acts chapter 10 and went to the house of Cornelius, which was a Gentile. And remember how Peter resisted that anyway? He just did not want to go. But he went every way, and he went anyway, and still got a blessing. You know, sometimes the Lord will bless you even if you're ornery. Anybody relate to that? Jake, you understand? Me and you got that, didn't we? You can be ornery and still be blessed to the Lord. Now, he said, the prophets even talked about this. Look at verse 16. And after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. Now, after he takes from the Gentiles, notice that. He called out of the Gentiles. This was what we read a while ago about the fullness of the Gentiles. He says this. He said, I'll build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and will begin to build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up. So James is saying right here, in restoration, after the Lord calls out from the Gentiles, he's going to go back, and the Lord's going to return. And what's the Lord going to do? He's going to build again the tabernacle of David. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter probably from chapter 40 to around 47, he talks about that temple, that tabernacle that will be built. Now, remind yourself, David wanted to build the tabernacle, but who actually built it? Solomon built it. The Lord wouldn't let David build it. David built it up here, and he built it in here, but he didn't get to build it out there. That ain't good English, but you get the point. But Solomon built it. And it was a great temple. The beauty of Solomon's temple, it was declared throughout the scriptures, a beautiful, beautiful place. But here he calls it the tabernacle of David because it was in David's heart. Now the Lord is going to rebuild all that in the book of Ezekiel. That's what it's about. And when you study the tabernacle that's going to be built in the book of Ezekiel, it almost sounds like the new heaven and new earth. Matter of fact, when you read it, you'll swear up and down it's the same. But what happens when the Lord returns and rebuilds this tabernacle, builds again this tabernacle of David, it's going to look a whole lot like heaven. But it's not going to be heaven. It's going to be laid out in such a way that even there, there'll be a river that goes through the center of it, like the New Jerusalem, and there'll be the trees on each side of it. And they also will offer medicine power to heal the nations also. It'll be very, very similar here when the Lord returns and builds again the tabernacle of David, and it's there upon the earth for 1,000 years. Now, that's what that's talking about there, and it's a prophecy. Now, when you're studying the Bible in prophecy, there's going to be a lot of things that looks like something else, but it ain't that. And that's called a prophecy in type. It's similar, but it ain't the same. It's like John the Baptist. He fulfilled the coming of Elijah and the rejection of Elijah, but Elijah is still going to come because the prophecy that he talked about in Malachi chapter 4, when Elijah would come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, John the Baptist fulfilled that in such a way that in Matthew chapter 17, he said he actually came through John the Baptist. He was Elijah in the essence of his message and his rejection, but there's still going to be an Elijah come someday. So a lot of these things that we see in fulfillment, they'll be fulfilled, but there'll be a greater fulfillment down the road. Just keep that in mind as we look at the scriptures. Anybody got a question out of there? Surely to goodness, I'm not getting away with that, am I? Okie doke. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon. Now at this point, Jeremiah, he's not in Babylon because there's no evidence that he went to Babylon, but he was prophesying during that time. And some say that he went to Egypt, and there is some scripture to make you think he might have went to Egypt for a while because some of the exiles from Jerusalem actually ended up in Egypt. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon. In other words, while Babylon was in power, the Lord had a plan to get rid of them because everything is temporary. Before Nebuchadnezzar ever become a king, God had a plan of getting rid of him. And before the Medo-Persians ever come into power, God had a plan getting rid of them. And each one of these kingdoms, Lord had a plan of getting rid of them. And that's what that image was. Remember what that stone to come down and hit the bottom of that thing and they would all fall? The Lord destroyed each one of them in time because they served their purpose. Now look close at what he says here. Even all these words that are written against Babylon, verse 61. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, this is a hard word to say, Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon. Now he was actually a priest. In the next chapter, it talks about him again, and he's a Levite. And she'll see and she'll read all these words. Now, this guy is actually going to Babylon. Now, Jeremiah wrote him this book, and this book was for him to take to Babylon. And he takes this book, and thou shalt see and read all these words in verse 62. He says, and thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off. And when he gets to Babylon, he said, now take this book and preach. Because you're going to say that the Lord's going to cut them off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. Now this brings on more talk, because if Babylon is going to be destroyed and it's going to be desolate forever, what about that Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 that will stand in the last days? Now the Bible's talking about this Babylon, the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to be done away with. It'll never be occupied again as Babylon. Now, the last Babylon that will stand will be similar in many, many ways, except the fact that it will be a Babylonian religion rather than a Babylonian world power. Now, the religion of Babylon will control the world power in that day, but this one right here, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, probably did when I said that. I shouldn't have said that. Mark that last thing off I just said. Verse 63. He said, it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book. Now look what he's supposed to do with it. Now, I'm bad about throwing away stuff that I need. You ever do that? You ever get in a big old cleaning way and you just throw away stuff? You ever done that, Larry Dale? Throw away a hubcap or something you need later? He said, now shall bind a stone to it and cast it in the midst of the Euphrates. Now we know he made it to Babylon because that's the river that goes right through the middle of that place. So he says, read the book, tell them what's going to happen, throw it away. That's the end of it. That's all I'm going to do for them. There's one message, one opportunity, and that's it. Now, the Lord always do that. But every one of us here has had a whole bunch of changes, ain't we? The Lord's really been good to us. Now, look at the next verse. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't have to go. He just wrote the book, sent the book, and Sarai down there, he spoke, he tied a rock to it, threw it in the river, and the end of it. Almost. As Paul Harvey says, there's a little bit more to the story. Let's go. We've got time. We've got 11 more weeks. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. But before we do, I want you to meet a guy named Robert Colderay. And he's a German. And he was an architect and an archaeologist. He led an expedition to Babylon, because we just read about Babylon sinking, didn't we? And it did. It sunk in the sands of the desert. It sunk in the sands of time. And what this man done, he went over in 1899 and stayed 12, 13 years in that era, and dug and excavated all around Babylon and come up with a lot of information about this city. And in brief, the city was 15 miles square, 15 miles on all four sides. And this image up here, if you look at the top of it, that's the Euphrates River coming down. Now, them straight lines is canals. That's man-made. The Euphrates is coming down, and it's going almost through the very middle of Babylon. Now, all these things right here, these designs, these drawings and stuff, was made from the information that Robert Colderay came up with many, many years ago, and now they're able to take that and kind of rebuild this city. But what I want you to see is notice the Euphrates coming down, and it's going right through the middle of town. And then there's a moat that goes all the way around the city, and on the inside of that is a wall that's 87 feet wide, 300 to 350 foot high, 35 foot of it is below ground, and 8 chariots could run abreast around that thing, and there was 250 watchtowers around that thing to keep an eye on the enemy. And you know how they got whooped? In Daniel chapter 5, they all got drunk, and they used the vessels of God out of the tabernacle of God, and they pitched a big old party, and the Lord come down and wrote on the wall. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Many, many tackle a poison. You've been weighed, you've come up short, and you'll be divided. And that night, Babylon ended that city. Over 200,000 people lived in it. And if you do the math, there was about 144,000 acres of that city. It had the palaces in it where Daniel spent most of his time, as we'll see in the next few weeks. It had great temples. They were pagan. They had many, many gods, and it was a wicked city in many ways, but it was a city that was a golden city. It was adorned with the greatest of all, and the whole world marveled at this great city. Have you got an ISO on that thing, a different shot of it? Anything different? Yeah, that right there. So if you was coming down into Babylon, that's what you see, the Euphrates River going right through the middle of that thing. Now, there was gates that opened and closed on that Euphrates on both ends, because they could close that city off. Now, let's look close at a couple things. Keep that in mind. And look in Jeremiah chapter 25, and we'll look at just a few verses of Scripture here. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and remember that's the second son of Josiah, the son of Josiah, he had two sons, and the king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar had been a king a very, very short time when he comes in to take into captivity the people of Judah. Look at the next verse. He said, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying. Now look close at what he says here in the next few verses. What are we jumping to? Around 5? 9, okay. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Notice that. Nebuchadnezzar became a servant of the Lord because he used them to chastise the people of God, the nation of Israel. And I will bring them against this land, now look real close, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Now look at the next verse. I believe around verse probably 11, yeah. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, folks, that is what was prophesied. That's what was going to happen, is they had to spend 70 years in captivity. Now, you wonder how in the world the Lord came up with 70 years. Why wasn't it 80? Why wasn't it 60? Now, we might not get a chance to get there tonight, but 2 Chronicles chapter 36 is because that they had not let the land rest. We might get into that. Just keep that in mind. But between now and next week, read 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now, look at the next verse in verse 12. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. He just called him his servant. Now, the Lord has the power to set up who he will. And I say whoever we have as president, that's who God wants us to have. We get what we deserve a lot of times. I think we're blessed right now, and I'm not promoting anything, but I think we've been cursed in the past. And he says that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations again. He says when Babylon's gone, it's going to be desolate. Because as a world power, it will never, never stand again. Now look real close at what he says here, and then go in the book of Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. The same prophecy that he's talking about, then that saith of Cyrus. Now, make a note on this. I try to give you enough to keep you busy all week. You need to read in the book of Isaiah the scriptures that leads up to it and the scriptures that lead after it. Now, when you get to the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the last few verses in that chapter, and you go to the book of Ezra, which is about 80 years later, the first two verses in Ezra is the same as the last two verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And he said this, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Cyrus is the king of Medo-Persian. So when Babylon's destroyed, he raises up his next kingdom, which is the Persian kingdom. It's called the Medo-Persian kingdom. And Cyrus, now this guy, he's 110 years from even being born. And the Lord's done give him a name. Now can't you see his mom and daddy when he's born? And the wife says, what are we going to name him? He said, well, I don't know. But he said, I can't get this word Cyrus out of my name. He said, I was wanting to call him Leroy or Bubba, but I guess we'll call him Cyrus because I can't get it out of my mind. The Lord named him before his mom and daddy was even born. He said, and he is my shepherd, and shall, see how he calls him a shepherd there? And perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt build, and to the temple the foundation shall be laid. He was the one that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and then later the walls in the book of Nehemiah and the gates. Now keep that in mind. Now look in chapter 45, this is the next part in the book of Isaiah. And he says, and thus said the Lord. Now, did you remember that picture a while ago when we was looking down at Euphrates and was getting ready to paddle into the city? And I told you there's two big old gates up there. See that? There's a canoe right there. Keep that in mind. Go back to Isaiah 45. Thus said the Lord, is the anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. He took old Cyrus by the hand and led him. Because he said, you're my shepherd. And he's going to lead him. To subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates. They had Babylon shut up. Belshazzar was in there and they was having a drunken party. The handwriting on the wall. And Cyrus was outside and walked them gates opened up. And they came in. He said, and the gates shall not be shut. Before the gates was ever built, God opened them. Sometimes we just kind of think the Lord can't handle our problem, don't we? That's just too hard. The Lord opened up a gate before the gate was ever made and shall not be shut. Verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. So we know by that description, that Babylon had gates of brass and bars of iron. He's describing it before it was ever built. Verse 3. And we're going to close right here in just a minute. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That's what he thought of the city of Babylon, which was this great city of gold. But he said, it's a treasures of darkness, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the Lord thy God. Now think about Cyrus reading that later. He said, the Lord knew me. Remember what he said? Was it Jeremiah said, the Lord knew me in my mother's womb? He's known us all along. Sister Sandra, he knew us a long time ago, didn't he? Before we ever was, he knew us. Now that's not Calvinism, folks. That's his Bible. The Lord knows. How could he write prophecy if he didn't know? He says, which call thee by thy name, am the Son, am the God of Israel, in verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Before Cyrus even knew about the Lord knew everything about him. Okay, we won't go any further tonight in the study. Anybody's got a question? Okay, Brother Bill. Brother Bill's got a question. Get that on the record right there. And what we referenced on the excavation, what he was able to do in those 11 or 12 years he was there, he was able to find the perimeters of the city, this man right here, and he surveyed out that whole area. He was able to find the corners and evidence of the moats and the gates and a lot of these things. Even go to one of those pictures of Babylon there. Yeah, they even cut, if you look really close off the Euphrates, you see that coming down at an angle? Those is canals. Even the ferry boats run through the streets. They had streets of water, like Venice, that the boats could come through. And all these points was determined and surveyed, and the outer perimeter was 15 miles in each direction, which is 225 square miles times 640, about 144,000 acres of prime property. Good property. Did that help any? Or did that just make it worse?
Yeah,
There's another question. I can see it between your eyes.
What are you talking about, 14 years and 14 years?
Okay, 14 generations. He's back in Matthew chapter 1. The generations. Okay, what Bill's question was, and he won't put your name, but he'll put the question. The question about the 14 generations is 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to carrying away into Babylon, and 14 generations from Babylon unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all divided up in those even generations in order for us to identify the most important people in the Bible that carries prophecy power is Abraham, David, the prophecies around Babylon, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, David, if you'll look and study, David writes about 80 of the 150 Psalms. And if you'll study the Psalms, they are prophecy. So David was a prophet also. But we really, really appreciate you coming. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for letting us be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many blessings of thy word, the promises that is made unto us in these last days that will encourage us and help us to realize, Lord, that we haven't got long to do what we can for thee. In Christ's name we pray this day. Amen.